Jenna, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks so much for joining me. Now, you're saying that the Higher Education Standards Panel's paper regarding the university dropout rates increasing is an overplayed moral panic, asserting that there's no spike in university dropout and attrition. Given that...
I've dragged myself through the entire paper because it's something I'm interested in. And the attrition rate is more or less the same as it's always been. People have trouble in their first year of university. There's a whole lot of fantastic work by a woman called Sally Kift, who's, I think, the Deputy Vice Chancellor of James Cook University. She's done a lot of work on trying to support students as they transition to first year university. But the real problem begins far before they come through the door of any institution. It's about what they think degrees mean and what they think careers are. And I actually don't think it's a high school problem, because I think our teachers are already completely overburdened with things they need to do. I think parents need to step up and start thinking about how they can communicate the future to their children.
Mm. Do you think this is part of a broader and compromising narrative going around about uni students today?
I'm not entirely sure what you mean, but I know that university students, because they are young, they don't participate in traditional political frameworks, so they get lost, and they're easy to bully. They're easy to say, you're failures, you're dropping out, you're wasting taxpayers' money. And one of the things that I say with my colleague, Christina Ho, she and I teach a course called Citizenship and Communication. We say to our students, it's really important that you have a voice, that you talk to politicians or that you participate in the political process so that, your generation can speak out. Because I think these young people are tremendously engaged in particular targeted ideas, and they're being bullied around whether they, pick the first degree that they enter and then stay at it. You can't do that. There's always been attrition.
Mm. Now, I understand in your article you sort of defer the blame away from university admissions and more to the stark difference between schooling and higher education for uni students as being a cause or a factor in these increased dropout rates. Could you unpack that a little bit more?
So what happens when you go... Can I ask how long it is since you were in year 12?
4 years.
Okay. Can you describe your process in year 12? How big were the classes?
About 25 to 30 people.
Okay. And were you in the same classes most of the week of the 30 hours that you were at school?
No.
Okay. And what about your teachers? Did you have a relationship with them over 6 years or 2 years or 1 year, or how did it work?
It depends. Various teachers I had differing relationships with.
So what happens at university is that it's quite likely you will meet your lecturer stroke tutor for 12 weeks and never see them again. In the meantime, my classes are around 30 in each tutorial, the ones where I'm actually the tutor, but the biggest subject that I teach has 1,100 students in it. It's not possible for me to build individual relationships with those people. Now, can I ask you, did you ever ask for an extension the whole time that you were at high school?
I don't think I did, no.
Okay, what a state you are. That's pretty unusual. Most people will ask for an extension of one kind or another, and it will be for a couple of days or for a week. And so when young people come to university, they are surprised that I can't just blithely hand out extensions for reasons such as I'm not feeling very well, or I had to go and pick up my my sister from netball. I can't do that because you need a process. Everyone needs to be treated the same. So students find that quite hard to deal with as well. They find the fact that they're not in with a group of friends. So unless you're quite unusual, usually you meet someone in year 7 or year 8, you develop connections with those people, and that's your little team for 5 or 6 years. But at university, as one of my students that I quote in my story, you're not going to find your best friend in the first week. You might not even find it in the first teaching period. And if you're lucky, you will have friends 3 years down down the road. But you're having to rely on yourself a lot more than you had to when you were at school. So, I mean, you frame this question in a way which talks about blame. I'm not blaming anybody. I think it's just very difficult for all the components of the education system to fit together neatly and allow for glorious progression from preschool through to your PhD. And there's going to be hiccups. And one of the things we can do as family members is to say, it's okay if you drop out of first year, because, you know, in most instances, someone who starts a degree will have completed one within 9 years. So it's not as if they never go back. They go back to something else, or they go back to the same degree a couple of years later. I had a student who started doing a communication degree 2 years ago, might be 3 years ago now, halfway through first semester, way after census date, she dropped out. She said this was the wrong degree for her. Came back the next year, having figured out it was the right degree for her, and is now doing absolutely splendidly. So sometimes it's just about maturing, and, you know, here I am at 60, I'm still maturing as well. You know, we grow up, but the more we can communicate about it's not a disaster if you drop out, it's not a disaster if you fail one subject. And if you look at the ways that our politicians behave, where they do a very poor job of putting together policy, passing legislation, they're failing on a daily basis, and nobody is picking on them. Well, I'm picking on them, but most of us are not picking on them. They get the chance to fail in public. Young people with much less personal experience and much less personal maturity are going to fail first year. And I don't think it's got a lot to do with whether you've come with an ATAR or not. Some people take longer without the ATAR. Sometimes ATAR is not the best predictor of success. Certainly it's very good at the top. You know, if you get an ATAR of over 95, that's strongly correlated with completing your degree or doing well at your degree. But I've taught many, many students who came as mature age, and their ATAR is so antique it's not even called an ATAR. Or people who've come through the TAFE system, or people who've come through some kind of industry practice. And I think that's okay too.
Mm. If you've just tuned into The Daily right now, we're speaking with Jenna Price about the noted increase in university dropouts and what sort of factors are contributing to this. Now, as we talked about, a lot of people have been looking at the ATAR and admissions. And I think it's interesting following our discussion there, because I know I, during school, performed relatively poorly, and I didn't actually end up finishing year 12, and I got into uni through alternative entry, and I flourished in uni, and I found the uni learning environment much more fruitful for me as a learner than school. Now, there's a bit of a cliche that students get spoon-fed in school, in the high school classrooms, and that high school churns out learners who don't have the independence and autonomy to think on their own, which is what's required at university. What sort of factors do you think need to be looked at a little bit harder, and maybe given an overhaul in producing more self-sufficient learners in high school?
I think that idea that you, I mean, first of all, the HSC is a catastrophe for independent learning. It's about memorising essays, and it's about vomiting them up in a two-hour period. So I think that's absolutely dreadful. It's not a way of learning, it's a way of memorising. I don't think, you know, when we have a lot of essay writing where we know that some students get assistance, that makes it very difficult for us to know whether they're really capable of doing the work. Universities are trying to move, certainly at the University of Technology Sydney, we're trying to move towards more authentic assessment, so that students can't go and buy essays or, and we had a major crackdown last year with students who were buying essays from an essay provision site, sorry, cheating site, basically. But I also think that, you know, there needs to be a little bit more group work that needs in high school. It needs to be scaffolded properly, and by that I mean there needs to be a setup around the assessment whereby students are not only taught to do the work, but are taught how to get on with each other. It's really hard to get on with other people. We all know that, especially when you've all got different aims and ambitions. but group work might make it slightly more difficult to cheat and slightly more difficult to regurgitate because you're putting together a whole package. I quite like those, I think the HSC drama does and HSC music does, where they have to work together as a group to perform and that gets assessed. I think that's a great idea. I think that there are some, you know, this idea that you do a test on this lot of work and then you do a test on the same lot of work and then you do a test on the same lot of work, and if you haven't ticked off all the rubrics by the time you get to the HSC date, well, then you're going to be in trouble. But university is not like that, and it's not where I can give someone one-on-one lengthy feedback. And I know that that certainly at school there's a lot of one-on-one feedback, and I mean, universities just do not have time to do that.
Well, it's been a conversation that's been going on for quite a while, the university high school divide. And in this time, we've seen little to no change to the HSC curriculum. It'd be very nice to see. We've had some conversations about stuff, so it'd be very nice to see a change in the future. Jenna, thanks so much for joining me this morning.
No worries,
to offer up your opinions.